A mountaintop is one of the most beautiful places on earth. Maybe it's the panoramic view, maybe it's just thin air. But I think sometimes we feel closer to God on a mountaintop. At my last church, we would have monthly women's breakfasts. And one theme one month was mountaintops, and everybody had to bring stories of mountains that they had climbed and pictures of said mountain and talk about the valleys and the mountains of our Christian walk. One thing that struck me, which is a little bit like Stephanie's story, that in comparison with the rest of the women in the room, my mountain was more hillock than mountain shapes, which I know you might find impossible to believe, but mountains are really quite hard to climb, aren't they? Really are difficult. I think I love a mountaintop, also love a cable car, or a car. Or a donkey, or something that will get me to the top without me actually having to put one foot in front of the other. Because from the very few mountains I have climbed, as you can probably tell, I have not got the physique of regular mountain climbing. Mountains are not a walk in the park. Usually, they're hard work. They start smooth but get rocky and steep. But I suspect that's the point of a mountaintop. In the same way, our high points and mountaintops of our spiritual lives are wonderful, but they're not always easy to get to. Sometimes we have to go through a lot to get to the top of a mountain. And it's those mountaintop experiences when we feel close to God, when God reveals something new to us, that we get given a new perspective on the lower points of our Christian journey. We heard two readings, one from Exodus and one from Matthew's Gospel. The second story from Matthew's Gospel is the story of the Transfiguration. But I'd like to tell you something a little bit about the journey to get to this mountain. Because our passage starts after 6 days. So I thought, I wonder what happened in the 6 days previously. What happened before? Because that's a key. After 6 days, what happened before 6 days? So 6 days before, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus explains that he must go to Jerusalem and he must die. And Peter says, "No, we're never going to let that happen." And Jesus tells him off and says, "Get behind me, Satan." It was the worst news that they were expecting to hear. Jesus was going to die. "We never let that happen, Lord. Do you mean what you say?" And 6 days later, when that news has been rumbling around their psyches for a week, nearly, when probably, if they're anything like me, that's all they've been thinking about. Bad news is a bit like that, isn't it? Once you have bad news, when something sad happens, it becomes, doesn't it, all-consuming, and that's all you can think about. Anyone else? Brain works like that? Absolutely. So I wonder if that was the same for the disciples. That's perhaps all they were thinking about. 6 days later, on day 7, They go up a mountain. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. And suddenly the glory of the Lord appears. And his face glows and heavenly light shines all around him. And two prophets appear, Moses and Elijah. And a voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What a fantastic story. 7th days are important. Every 7th day we have a Sabbath. We're meant to stop and focus on God. Do we, I wonder, on the Sabbath? I know I certainly don't, but that's the plan, God's plan for us. And on this 7th day, the glory of the Lord appears. Moses had a 7th day experience as well on another mountain, Transfiguration. God calls Moses up a mountain, and when he arrives, a cloud covers the mountain. And for 6 days, Moses has no vision. He has no visibility, both physical and spiritual. I think he was a man with a lot on his plate. The whole worries of a nation that he was leading, people complaining and grumbling, probably depression and doubts and insecurity and uncertainty, all on Moses' shoulders. And he was told to go up the mountain and wait. And so he did. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited. Anyone good at waiting here? I'm rubbish at waiting. Rubbish. But on the 7th day, the glory of the Lord appeared to him. It was a glorious fire that made the burning bush seem minute. And the voice of God comes out of the cloud. God had been there all along, just where he was not expected. In the cloud. I think there is something to be said about waiting for God to act. In both of our stories, both the disciples and Moses were living through something hard and needed to know that God was with them and needed to wait to be told. To hold on, because God will act. And I think we all need to be reminded of that dynamic too often. Life, especially the life of faith, is often an uphill journey. There are rocks and there are stumbling points. When we trudge up our mountain top of faith, we're sometimes met with doubts and disappointments. In our journey as Christians, it's not trouble-free. If you are living a life where you never have any worries or hassles or stress or depression or doubts, well, I'd love to find out how you manage to do that, because my life doesn't look like that at all. Our life is full of difficult questions. Why does God let babies be born with things wrong with them? Why is there dementia in our world? Why is there cancer? Why do good people die and bad people seem to thrive sometimes? What is the point of all of this? And at some times it might be that those questions feel a lot to carry all at once. And they feel heavy and weigh us down. And we doubt and we grieve and we scratch the sore bit and make it worse. I believe it's those times that we are people who wait for the seventh day. When the clouds part and we can see clearly. Sometimes we won't get to see clearly until the vantage point of eternity. But I'd like to remind us today that there is always a seventh day when God's word seems clear, when our prayers are answered, when the mountaintop experience is real and lived. There is always a seventh day. We just have to wait and wait. Sometimes in holy trust and fear that God will act. All of us have times when we are in valleys and in times of darkness. You might be going up a mountain in your faith. You might be going down the mountain. You might be nowhere, no idea where you are on the mountain because you've lost the map. That's probably me. Or have not programmed your sat nav correctly. Wherever you are on the mountain and the journey of faith, let me remind you that God's people have been there before. When the time is right, the glory of the Lord appears. There is always a seventh day. When the trial gets steep, let's be people who remember that God's glory will always appear. And so if that feels like a tough thing to hear for you today, hold on to what you know of God in the past. Hold on to the promises that you've seen and known already. And balance that with the truth that in the trials of the past, God has been faithful. Hold on to God's glory and God's voice, which helps us be mountain climbers. God is with us, and God's glory will meet us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is faithful. We thank you and we trust you. And Father, wherever we are on our journey of faith, whether we feel that we're gazing at beautiful scenery at the top of the mountain and life is great, whether we feel we are in a valley remembering mountaintop experiences of the past, whether we're somewhere else on the journey, we'd like to declare you today to be the one who guides us and the one who guards us and the one whose glory we covet. We praise you for your faithfulness and we trust you in wherever our journeys may take us. We thank you for where you have been in our lives, and we hold on to you for where you will take us in days to come. Would you continue to walk with us and guide us and guard us? And would you help us to keep our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith? As we come to God's table, let us remember for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Amen.